Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. It is a beautiful, beautiful time of year, and I'm glad you beautiful people are here. Man, it's a good day. Wasn't worship amazing? Yes, yes. Anytime we can give the Lord our hearts and our worship, it is amazing. That's just the fact of it. We are glad to be back. As Allie said, we have been in Romania and Spain encouraging the International Church and being encouraged by the International Church as well. A lot of great things are happening around the world, and it is exciting to see and be a part of as well. And I can tell you, as Allie was saying, we're making a big impact. We're making a big impact on the earth, and that's our calling for our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utmost parts of the earth. And so you're our Jerusalem. We're taking care of you. We're here to edify you so that you can also take care of your Jerusalem, your Samaria, your Judea, your state, nation, and the utmost parts of the earth. And we have a full mandate. And the more we understand that, the more God gives us to steward. And that's a value. As Allie was saying, next week, a friend of mine who has become a friend, he is a once-in-a-generation type leader, and he is an amazing communicator. He actually leads worship, too. He's a very dynamic guy, and he is truly, truly, truly got a great word and a great heart and a great ability to lead. And when I say he's a once-in-a-generation leader, I'm telling you, you know, you think someone who has the ability, God has graced them with the ability to change a nation. You think Charlie Kirk has been able to affect a nation, what God was doing through his life, and now is still doing because of his life, which is really cool. We see these moments in time, and we actually get to be a part of those. Well, it's not only happening here, it's happening around the world in other countries. Media won't tell you. They're not worried about it. In fact, they don't want you to know. But you'll know, I'm letting you know. And you'll know next week. It's not going to be on Facebook. It's not going to be recorded for his safety. But where he is in the 10:40 window, and specifically in the city that he is in, it is. If I were to show you, I was there earlier this year. If I were to show you a worship service to their god or gods, actually, what it looked like. It happens at 6 p.m. every day their time. If I showed you what it looked like, you would be thinking, this surely is when Elijah walked in to with the prophets of Baal and called down fire from God and showed them who the real God is. That's the kind of mandate that is on this man's life, and you're going to get to hear from him next weekend, 9 and 11 o'clock. Don't miss it. I say all that to say, don't miss it. It's very impactful, and in fact, all the giving to Kingdom Builders next week, if you give above and beyond your tithe, then that is going to go towards the ministry that he leads to affect that area of the world. And I'm telling you, he's making a huge impact. Took some bold moves to get there, and that's been one of our core values. We embraced that, real people, bold faith. We talked about that two series ago, real people, just real people you can connect with, but we're bold in faith, meaning we're going to also talk to you about how our lives have gotten the way they are. Why we're blessed and why we see life from a different perspective. What do we have to offer? Who is Jesus? And because we're real people, people can connect with us, and we have bold faith, we're not going to be scared to show them the love of Jesus and introduce them to Jesus. And then we talked last series about love. Our second core value is love. We love big, we live free, and we stay humble. We love big, we live free, and we stay humble. We're not going to be proud and full of our own righteousness, because we understand we only walk in his righteousness. And that keeps us humble, so we're not going to be a proud people. We're not going to act like we deserve what we get and get to have. We're going to understand that it's all by grace and mercy. And we're going to love big. We're going to love people big because we understand we needed love at one time. We still need love. We also, you know, some of you were jacked up, and there's some of us. But then some of us are still jacked up, and we still need love, right? I mean, come on. Come on. And then live free. You know, free people, free people. I'm going to live free. It means I'm going to apply the truth of God's word in my life, and I'm going to let his word read my life, and then I'm going to change according to his word and his example, the example he gives me. And I'm thankful that he gives me the Holy Spirit to not only confront me, but also to transform my heart. And so Love big, live free. We're going to stay humble about it because we can only really live free if we're humble. The more proud we get, the more bondage comes up with it, and the less we're able to love. And so we're choosing this core value. Well, we have another core value, and it is we serve with fun and joy. Well, we actually adopted this as a family. I always say, hey, listen, we're going to do it with joy. We're going to serve with joy. We're gonna serve in this house with joy and outside of this house with joy. And because Allie is all about fun as well, and we believe we should be having fun doing whatever we're doing because it shouldn't be heavy, it shouldn't be burdensome, it shouldn't be full of religion, it should have fun connected to it. And so whenever I say this, we serve with joy. My son always reminds me, and fun. So he's always reminding me of our core value. And so I want to remind you, hey, we're gonna serve with joy, but we're gonna have fun doing it. And we're gonna serve with fun, and we're gonna have fun, and we're gonna choose joy while we're doing it. All right. This is a choice, by the way. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. There's attributes, there's things that we choose to find joy. And so if you're not having joy, well, you need to choose differently. choose differently. And so So we have to capture, we're not talking about just missions as October, but we're highlighting missions to bring to more of your awareness because we are a missional church. We have to capture the heart of the mission of the church. And so we have to have a heart of a missional church. This is what Jesus left with. It was a great co-mission. It was a mission that he commanded us to live out. He left us to say, hey, I'm going to send you on a mission, going to all the earth, baptizing, making disciples and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and go to the city, though, wait, because I'm also going to empower you to do it, and I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you to empower you, and I'm going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. I'll be interceding for you, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and I'm sending you on mission. This is our role as Christ followers. Never was it our role to come to Christ, then come to church, be good little church people, come in, sit down, praise a little bit, clap our hands, say yes and amen, maybe receive prayer, and then walk out, and nothing changes. That is church tradition and church religion, but following Christ comes with a different motive, a different look. It looks different whenever we're actually following Christ. You know, when I was young, I met the church, and I gave my life to the church, but it wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I met Christ. Been going to church all my life, but I didn't know him. I didn't know Jesus. I knew the traditions of the church. I knew the 16 beliefs of the denomination. I knew the principles and the stories of the Bible, but I hadn't met the person of the Bible. And when you meet the person of the Bible, it transforms everything. All of a sudden, you start to conform to his image. You start to take on his mind. You've been given the mind of Christ. Therefore, put it on, Paul says. Your heart begins to get transformed. You start to become more self-aware of what needs to change rather than who needs to change around you. And everybody said amen. From Sunday, so we're talking about today being from Sunday consumer to kingdom servant. Because most likely, most of us grew up in the Sunday consumer church. Come in, I'll preach at you. Give me some of your money and then go. And most likely nothing changed in your life. But in the real, in following Christ, it's no, we come in to worship. We worship with our hands raised or our hearts raised, our spirits elevated into the Lord because worship is the only part about your church service that is not about you. We come into worship and it's about God. And many people will say, well, you know what? We can be late. It's just worship. What you're saying is it's just about God in that moment. It doesn't matter. Or if you come out of worship and you're saying, you know what? That really didn't do anything for me. The problem is you were worshiping the wrong person. Worship is completely about the God of the universe. It is completely about, thank you, Lord. I'm giving you all the glory and all the praise. Even in my pain, even in my trial, especially in my triumph, but especially in my trial, I'm giving you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. I am nothing anyway without you, and I thank you that I even get to exist. Hallelujah. Then we come into the Word, yes. Then we come into the Word, and it's like, okay, teach me, feed me, show me where I need to have a different mindset. I need to put on the mind of Christ. Show me, teach me what it means to walk out this life with Christ. Holy Spirit, speak to me, because I'm now in a position, I'm prepared soil. Speak to me for the transformation. And then the last part, which is what so many people miss out on, is a time of prayer. It's a time of, let's seal the deal now. Now let's come forward. Let's have righteous brothers and sisters, people who also love the Lord, who are adamantly, fervently praying and caring for you. Have them pray over you through the laying on of hands, Scripture says. So when we miss our time of prayer, we miss the laying on of hands, we miss the transference, we miss impartation, we miss the presence of God doing something supernatural, and so we walk out of here unchanged, wondering why I should even be going to church. And every one of us have experienced that. But that's the trifecta. Worship, word, prayer. Boom. I'm surrendering my life in this area of my life that the Lord is highlighting today. And then it causes a shift in us. It changes us from being Sunday consumers, oh, feed me, feed me, feed me, into I'm coming in having been already fed in my time with the Word and with the Lord on a daily basis or a frequent basis. I'm coming in still going to be edified, and I'm going to edify the people around me because I'm here to contribute into the kingdom of God through the local church. And now I'm becoming a kingdom servant. Now it truly is about the big C or the kingdom of God on earth, His kingdom and not my kingdom. If it's not moving me, it's because it's my kingdom. If it's moving me and it's growing me, it's because I've surrendered mine to His. And yes, well, we're preaching today. And so it should see, the world should see, it should be known on our faces. It should be known what's in us. When I was in Romania, they went through a lot of oppression. They were under about 40 years of a dictator who completely sucked the life out of all the nation. And the last 35 years, they have been liberated, and it was really all because the nation rose up to protect one pastor. They protected one pastor, but they were sick of the government, and they're sick of the military controlled by the government, the dictator, of bringing oppression on their lives. So when the military was forced to go and arrest the pastor, the church rose up. And as the church was rising up, the dictator called in more military and more police to come against those who were rising up. And then more of the church rose up. Then more people heard about it. Close to 100,000 people stood around this church and are in front of this pastor. And they said, you're not coming through to get to him. You're going to have to come through us to get there. So the military and the police started, actually, they were linked. The Christians of the day were linked arm in arm. And they're not doing this. And they started falling arm in arm. So the military, the police started shooting them. But then all of a sudden, the military just said, wait a minute, this is wrong. They are not the problem. So they changed their position, and they began to defend the church. And that's when the dictator fell. And the church finally had an opportunity to move. Now, the economy collapsed, everything collapsed, and they tried to rediscover how we're going to be as a nation. And just right now, real time, the church 35 years ago, there's a church that we were helping and serving and helped with the leadership conference. They are trying to figure out how to do what we get to do on a Sunday basis. They are trying to figure out how can we get to a scenario like this. The culture, the church culture, was such a kingdom. It's so linked in. It was so easy to understand where they are and what they're doing and then help them into their next phases because we're already doing it. But do you know every one of the people that attend that church, they were serving in some capacity, they realize they have been lifted, the oppression of the government has been lifted. They are now free people, and they get to serve in the body of Christ now. Yes. That is great news. And then, but there's still this understanding, they're still trying to teach the rest of the churches how to walk in freedom. Because when you grow up under such oppression, it's like when Moses led the people of Egypt out of Egypt, the people of the Hebrew children out of Egypt, rather. Well, see, God God got them out of Egypt, but then he had to get the Egypt out of them. And so we're actually getting to be a part of a nation that's getting the Egypt taken out of them right now, which is really fertile soil for a great revival. And this is something similar happening in Spain, but I'm saying right here, there may be some Egypt inside of us that still needs to get out so we can live fully free as Christ's servants. And so for the world to see us different, and I've, under this understanding and context, I was preaching in a church, and I told them, I said, they were like this, stern and strong. Like, remember, they've been under oppression in the generations. They actually lived in this. This was their life. And so I said, hey, you know, we have this saying in our church. He said, hey, are you happy? Are you excited? Yeah, we're excited. Well, then tell your face. And so I told them. And they loosened up a little bit, probably culturally a little bit, you know, misunderstand, but they loosened up. And so sometimes we just need to loosen up, have a little fun, you know, have a little joy. Life is going to be okay. Jesus has a solution for everything. But the world should see something different on us. In Psalm 67, it says, the prayer is, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Wow, his face. Do you believe that God's face is shining upon you? Do you want him to bless you? Are you believing that he's blessed you in such a way it's because his face is shining upon you? He says, Selah, just wait a minute. Pause on that. Meditate on it. Think about that. And continues and says that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you. Oh God, let all the people praise you. You see, because his face is shining upon us, then now the nations get to see us, the people around us, they get to experience salvation. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge. Sorry about this. You shall judge the people righteously and govern nations on earth. Selah. You shall judge the people righteously. Seeing, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? Because they can see the glory of God on our faces. There's something uniquely different about those people. I don't know what it is, but they're different. I don't know what they got that I don't have, but there's something different. It makes me curious. And so our curiosity, we should be curious, creating curiosity for people, because the blessing of the Lord, the shine of the glory of the Lord is on us, on our faces. There should be a certain joy that we walk with. Like, what's different about you? What is it you have that I don't have? Which opens the door for you to be able to deliver. Be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. You see, nations will start to sing for joy because of the salvation they experience, because you are carrying the glory of God on your life. And we have to get this understanding that I'm not here to sit. I'm here to be kingdom advancers, carrying the glory of God on me into the lives of other people. Joy comes not because we feel an emotion. It's because we have salt and light. We are salt and light. We bring a flavor into the world. We're a beacon for people to experience, see from afar, and experience the Lord. They get to see what it might look like to have some sort of life inside of them. And we understand that his presence is with us because of this internal understanding. I know he is with me. I know he goes before me. And so that changes how I see life. That changes how I see trials. It changes how I see difficult situations. Because he is with me. He is for me. His presence goes before me. He is there. Our face begins to shine with the glory of God, and it brings up a joyful heart of service. In the most difficult situations, I can still serve because of him. The joy of the Lord is our strength, would say Nehemiah. That service is not just for ourselves, but for our community and for our nations. So his presence of God is not, the presence of God is not on me for me. The presence of God is on me so you can benefit from it. So So now I'm coming into the presence. I'm seeking the presence of God so that you will be blessed. That's what this psalm is praying. And that takes a lot of maturity in Christ. To say, I'm wanting to be selfless. I want nothing but your presence. It doesn't matter if I get anything, but because you're so good, I know I will anyway, so I'm going to give away everything I get to have. Second, we're not consumers. Sorry, first, we are not consumers. We are co-laborers. Am I coming into church just to receive and to get, or am I coming in to give away some life? Am I coming in because other people's lives matter? Am I coming in to be selfless? Remember the story. There's a story in the Bible. There's a man named Abraham, if you don't know him, had a son named Isaac. And Abraham was looking for a wife for his son. Abraham sends his servant back to his homeland. He says, be sure not to go to the Canaanites. Be sure not to go there. So he sends the servant and 10 camels back to his homeland, and he says, listen, I want you to find a wife for my son from where my family is from, but I don't want him to go. There's a lot of spiritual meaning in this, but I want to get to one point. The servant goes, and he's praying, oh, Lord, please help me to find a wife for my master's son. He has his 10 camels. He's going to a place. He's like, I need to stop at the watering hole, the watering well. My camels are thirsty. He says, Lord, give me a sign that I'll know which woman it is that you want for my master's son. He gets settled in. The first woman that comes up, her name is Rebecca. Maybe you've heard of her. She comes in and she says that she will provide water for his camels. Now, he had 10 camels, and one camel can drink 20 gallons of water. And she's probably carrying a vase that holds water for about 3 to 5 gallons. Now, do the math on that. 20 gallons, 10 camels, 200 gallons. Divide that by 3 to 5, at best it's 60. I mean, at the least it's 60 gallons. 60 trips. And each gallon is about 7 pounds. So she's making 60 trips of 21 to 35 gallons of water on her shoulder to selflessly give water to the camels of some man she's never met, not for any personal gain, because she doesn't know what she's going to get out of it, if anything, anyway. She's an example of a servant. You see, that starts to get the attention of God. When we choose to serve sacrificially and we don't need affirmation and we don't need a good job, I'm glad you did that. We don't need a, hey, you need to go do this. We just selflessly see that something needs to get done. We step up because we're serving the Lord, and we start to do sacrificially and we do it consistently. God, it captures the heart of God, and then God begins to make a way of favor and blessing, like Rebecca would begin to fulfill and experience. And not only her, the generations all the way down to you and I. Abraham is our father of faith. By faith, he is our lineage of father through Jesus Christ. And so the example is sacrificial without needing anything in return. I am going to serve you because you matter. That's the mentality that the church needs to capture. You're coming in, you matter. Consider for a moment how often you might ask in prayer and wait for direction. Lord, what is it you would have me to do today? Who would you have me to serve, and how would you have me to do it? Could it be that we're missing the attraction of the attention of God because we're not selah-ing, pausing enough to capture the heart of his heart on what he wants us to do and how he wants us to serve? And therefore, because of our culture, we're trained to be consumers rather than co-laborers. Well, see, we come from a different kingdom. We're ambassadors from a different kingdom. That means we're not here to be consumers, but we're actually here to be co-laborers and contributors. There's not a person in the body of Christ that's not called to be a contributor to the kingdom of God through selfless acts over long periods of time, even through the pain. This is a follower of Christ Jesus, by the way. This is the example we see in Christ, his life. 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. He's building you up so that you can build others up. He's tending to your field so you can tend to the field of others' lives through what you have gained. He continues, he says, according to the grace of God which is given you and you given to me. It's only because of the grace of God. And there's grace on your life that you have yet to experience until you start to tend to the field and build up his kingdom through the building up of another brother or sister in Christ. He says, as wise master builders, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed on how he builds on it. It means be very aware. Be very attentive. Be quick about it. Come on, let's get busy. Let's get to it. There's no sitting around old-timey religion style. No, we have a mission to fulfill, to extend the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. Jesus modeled this in John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be. Now, if we're following Christ, are you a Christ follower? We'd all say yes until we get to this point. Because Jesus was continuously serving the people around him, giving his life over for the people around him, living sacrificially and very aware of the needs of the people around him. Consumer mentality is I'm very aware of what I need and what I want and what others need to do for me. The kingdom servant mentality is I'm very aware that I have needs, but the needs of the others are equally, if not greater, in importance. And the more I start to serve the needs of the others, the more God starts to serve my needs. The more he fulfills me. The more I start to be a blessing to others, the more God begins to bless me. The more I become more available for the lives of others and their scenarios, the more God creates more availability in my life, ability in my life, more clarity in my life, the more vision he gives me, the more opportunity he gives me because he knows I'll steward well what belongs to him and what matters to him. This is the life of every one of us. We have to ask, does our spiritual journey look more like old church religion and tradition than it does being right there and serving others and walking with Christ? The more that God has called you into, and God's kingdom is expanding, so it always has more to it. God, you want more of me. God, you want more of me. Yes, God, you want more of me. But guess what? He also has more for you, and he has more for you, and even more than that for you. You see, we want the more for without giving the more away. And it's only in the giving the more away that we get the more for. And the more you get to experience, the more you want to give away. The more joy you see it is in other people benefiting from your giving away. Let me be honest, it gets overwhelming as leaders when we're a few serving so many. Why? Because it's not the way God designed. You see, this is why even Jesus said, hey, the harvest is ripe, the workers are few. And it hasn't changed. The harvest is ripe, but there's many who have been consuming and consuming and consuming. You've been the harvest. You've been picked. You've been called. You've been chosen. But you haven't become the workers of the fields. And God's calling workers into the fields in this season. And we got to stop sitting around watching media and complaining about what's going on and what they're not doing and what they're doing and what that church is doing and what the government's doing and what they're, we're not going to rise up and start doing the work of the ministry. How can you begin to build according to the gifts that God has given you? I mean, can you come in and greet and hold the door? Come on in. I'm glad you're here at Thrive Community Church. I can't wait to go in and worship with you and give all to the Lord because he's so good. I hope you get to experience in there what I've been experiencing. Or maybe it's in the cafe. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. Here's a cup of coffee. Let's give the Lord everything we got today. Come on. How can I pray for you? Can I get some people that know how to pray for another human being? Oh, wait. Can I get some people who care to pray for the well-being of another human being or not more concerned about their own well-being? Can I get some people who are willing to say, you know what, I see the anointing and the calling of God on your life. Can I pray for you right now? Is there a need that you have right now? Can I help you through what you're going through right now? I can see you're carrying a heavy burden. Can I do something to serve you to help you through that burden? Can I call you? Can I walk with you? Can I do? Where's the body of Christ that needs to raise up and be the workers, because the harvest is sure enough ripe? When it's too heavy on a few, then you can't steward well what God has given you. And let me just tell you, it's too heavy on the few right now. And because God is calling workers out of the harvest to help with the harvest. It's happening. It's time. It's time to rise up. We are here to reflect we are a reflection of God's presence. We have to understand serving with joy and fun is being a reflection of God's presence. Like I told you in Romania, listen, they wish they have what you have. What we get to do, they wish. They're petitioning God to receive the things that you just get to come in because you're alive. Man, we need a mind shift. In Spain right now, 4 services. The church only seats 400, but they're stacking in 500, 4 services. They're waiting for an hour. They're 100 deep in overflow. And for the last 11 years, there's not been one service on the weekend that there has not been salvations. There's 95 countries coming to this one little church. The people are hungry. And being American, you have way more to give than you can possibly understand sitting in a pew. It is time to hear the voice of God on what it is that He wants you to do and get out of consumerism and into kingdom mobilization. 3. I'll just say this in Philippians. Paul writes, you got to hear it, 2 Philippians 17. He says, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith. He says, I'm glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. For the faith of others, he was sacrificing. He was in prison on house arrest. He didn't have one of those little ankle bracelets. On house arrest, but knowing he was going to his death. By choice, he was going to his death. Imprisoned by Rome. But he was going, he's like, nope, I don't see death. I see those lives being transformed in the way to death. He's still writing letters encouraging the church, encouraging Ephesus, encouraging Colossians, encouraging Philippians. He's still encouraging the church from being imprisoned because he lived in a different reality. He lived from a different kingdom. And a joyful culture attracts the nations. See, when I'm just happy, I told Allie, we got one agenda when we go on this trip. We're going to smile at people. We're going to impart joy. We're going to recognize something that they have on them that's significant, and we're going to be all about them. Do you know that just opens up the lives of people? It opens up their heart. It opens them up. It prepares them to receive a voice, the word of God flowing through you. Now you can speak life. Now they'll receive. Now they're receptive, and that works. I'm just imparting joy. I'm thinking about me less and you more. I'm imparting joy. I want to pray for you as we get ready to depart, if you will stand up. Because I know in this room, there's people in here that know that they're called to more. That the current life, I'm going to ask my prayer team to come forward. Prayer team, please come forward. They're called to a life that's beyond what they're currently living. You're currently living. And you're like, I know there's more. And the Holy Spirit is just kind of making me uncomfortable. I know there's more. And I know there's more that God has for me. I know there's something. There's something. If that's you, I want you to ask you to raise your hand. I know there's more for this life. I know there's more for me. I know there's more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to encourage you to keep your hand up. If you need prayer, in fact, if you're raising your hand, I want you to come forward. I want you to have an experience where the Holy Spirit shows up and he starts to speak to you. He starts to give you utterances. He starts to give you insight. He starts to give you an awareness of what that calling is. I want to invite you to come forward. I'm not asking, I'm telling you, come forward. If your hand is raised and you really believe that God has a calling on your life, I want you to come forward. And we want to pray with the laying on of hands, with the laying on of hands, trusting God. Come on up here. I see you smiling. You can get through that lane. Come on up here. Come on up here. And if you need prayer, give prayer, turn around. Get prayer, turn around and give prayer. We're praying for people today. We're going to be the body of Christ today. There is more. God wants to do more through this body. He wants to do more in your lives. And we're praying right now. If you're here, if you're back there, if you need prayer, come forward for prayer. And if you're back there and you can pray for somebody, please extend your hand to pray for a brother or for a sister. Just extend your hand to pray for this group up here. Holy Spirit, we ask that your voice be the loudest in their heart. Speak to their hearts, Holy Spirit. Embed in their soul the very calling, the purpose, the direction for you would have for them to go. Light them up, Holy Spirit. Encourage, Holy Spirit. And if you're back there, I want you to grab somebody's hand. Grab somebody's hand that's around you, back in the back. Anywhere, and to grab somebody's hand. And pray this prayer right here. Holy Spirit, would you speak to my neighbor? Would you open their spiritual ears and open their spiritual eyes to hear what you have to say and see what you would have for them to do? Keep going, Holy Spirit. Give them dreams. Holy Spirit, give them visions. Holy Spirit, give them insight. Don't let them rest until they understand your calling on their lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Jesus calls us to the Great Commission. He tells us to go into the nations. He tells us to go to make disciples. In the process of being a disciple, we are called to make disciples. Don't miss your opportunity. Today is the day. Right now is the time. Come forward if you need prayer, if you want prayer, if you really, really want an agreement. It was in a service just like this when I heard the call of God and I responded to the call of God. You see, somebody can call you all day long, but if you don't pick up that phone, it means nothing. And the response is saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me. And the coming up for prayer is a call to action. It's a responding to the voice of God. Here I am. Pray over me. Speak to me. Use me, Lord. Let your word be true in my heart today, Lord. A setting just like this, when I gave my life, I stepped up to the calling of God on my life. And you are the benefactors of me stepping up to the calling of God on my life. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you speak loudly to every individual in this room today, that your word be penetrating their heart, that you don't let them rest until they understand the call, your calling on their lives, that they step up and they respond to whatever it is that you would have them to do and ask them to do in this season, that they say yes and amen, and they come in like a Rebecca, and they give selflessly, sacrificially, and they do it because they're serving, they're doing it, they're working unto the Lord, they're giving away, and they're not looking for man's response, but they're waiting for your God, your heart to move in their benefit. They're waiting for you to bless them in such a way that only you can bless them. The Holy Spirit, I pray for families today. I pray for finances. I pray for hearts to be open. I pray for forgiveness in this room. I pray for your presence to manifest and be made known ever so clearly. I pray for people who need healing to be healed in Jesus' name. I pray for those who are in bondage and believing lies, that those lies be torn down right now in Jesus' name. Anything that is standing up against the word of God, anything that is trying to rise itself up against the word of God, we take that thought captive and bring it into the obedience of Jesus Christ. This is our spiritual warfare. We will step up to the resistance of God. We will be a generation that changes the nation. We will be a people who uses for the better of others. Holy Spirit, I ask that you empower, you strengthen, you embolden, you give courage. The Word of God says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God is raising up soldiers. He's raising up women of God to lead. He's raising up men of God to lead. He's raising up a new generation. He's revealing a different kingdom. He's embedding what it means to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. We're here to give, to serve, to love, and to do it having fun, choosing joy, pursuing the Lord, and delivering everything that we've received into the lives of others. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you in this room today. We thank you. I want to release you. Thank you for being with us. I want to release you. You want to stay and pray? Stay and pray. If you still need to come forward for prayer, there's people available up here. Don't miss the opportunity. This Tuesday night, we'll be at Kiwanis Park praying with the first responders. We'll be delivering food and serving food and serving with fun and joy in Kiwanis Park at 5:30 p.m. We want you to join us. October 17th and 18th, we're going to be at the Jamboree. We're intentionally planting ourselves at the Jamboree downtown so we can pray for people, we can love people, we can let the glory of God that's shining on our face be released into the lives of this community. Come on, people. It's time to understand the mandate and the calling of God on our lives. We are here to be a blessing for others. We are blessed to be a blessing to the world around us. Let's reach this community. Let's be the change that we see that is necessary for our community. Let's be the change that God has blessed us with for the nations and abroad. Let's bring to others what God has so gracefully and mercifully given to us. Let's be a people who chooses to rise up and not sit down. Let's be a people who chooses to rewrite church history and say, we will not be pew sitters, we'll be kingdom movers. Let's be a people that will choose to see a different reality for our children and our children's children. Let's be a people like Rebecca who serves sacrificially and selflessly, not knowing that God will use those moments to bring us into situations and scenarios that will bring generation after generation after generation of blessing. Let's be a people who can see a different reality while living in this reality. Let's be a people who have vision for the future and what it can be because of what God is doing in our lives, and we can reveal that to a broken world and to the lives of the people around us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, guys. Yes, let's give it praise the Lord. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's just lift up your voices and thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank you. Thank you. If you're thankful for anything, thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise, and we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your transformation. We thank you for these people. We thank you for your people. We thank you for your kingdom. We thank you for what you're going to do that we don't even know about yet. We just trust you. We thank you, God, for being a good father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being present. We thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross for us. We thank you for opportunity. We thank you for the breath that's in our lungs. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you, the energy, the strength, the life. We thank you. 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 Come on. Can we just worship real quick? Let's just worship God one more time. You're free to go.
Join the song. join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free forever. Amen. When death was arrested, my life began.
Yes,
when death was arrested, my life began.
When death was arrested, my life began.
Come on, everybody. Come on. Woo! God bless you. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Take out to the streets what you received today. We're here to continue to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.